We're going to talk about fear for tonight, because we live in a very unsettled day, and there are a lot of pressures that are happening on people that have believed a long time and brand new believers. And I just thought it would be a good reminder to look at what Scripture says about this. I have chosen several verses and as an introduction. We're going to just look at this Hebrews passage. At this first part, you might want to just follow along up in those and not turn to it in your scripture, because I'm going to flip so fast. I think that would be frustrating. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You understand the promise? This is God himself telling you and I, who are genuine believers, he's with us. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and what are we to do as a result? I will not fear. What can man do to me? What's the answer to that? Nothing. Now we're talking about the Apostle Paul and his statements about life. And I just want to make sure you understand it as we go in to look at some of these other passages on fear. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. Now listen, he was saying to the Corinthians, they had all a bunch of teaching, but it was getting all messed up in their minds. And he's saying, hey, now listen up. You got to listen to a central truth, and that's really the message he was trying to bring home to them. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. He was talking about, Paul was talking to the Corinthians that, listen, you came to know Christ through my efforts. Now listen up. You're hearing a bunch of people teaching, and they're getting you confused. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. The Apostle Paul was saying, imitate me. Look at the way I'm living. Look at the way I'm responding to life. Imitate the way I'm living. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of the many ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. So the Apostle Paul was saying, follow my example. Number two, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And here is the point that I want you to note. Once again, the Apostle Paul stands before the Corinthians and says, look at the way I live and follow my example. Philippians, another church, another one of the epistles, one of the letters. And these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. In other words, the Apostle Paul says, take a good look at the way I'm living. Take a good hearing of what I say. Watch what's going on. These do. Well, that's a bold statement. And the God of peace will be with you. Going back to that Hebrews passage, remember those who have the rule over you, who have spoken the words of God to you, whose faith follow. Notice the imitation principle again. Considering the outcome of their conduct, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's what he was saying. There's a lot of people that are talking about Christ that appear to have been going all different ways. And he was very, very concerned that they get some good models in their life and make it a purpose, and purpose very definitely, to imitate what he is manifesting in his life. Now, I share this in the context of fear. You know, when you talk about what is fear, that's a fascinating thought, actually. When I think about fear, it is definitely an emotion. And it's definitely a God-given emotion. And it's God-given for a purpose. You know, I have been all alone in a building at a time or two and heard some absolutely unbelievably loud noises. You know what happens when that happens? Boy, I think we can all, most of us are adults in here. the adrenaline flows. I mean, you're ready. You're wondering what in the world is going on. But you're able to do things in that moment that you probably weren't able to do without that fear that got us going. It is a God-given emotion for a purpose. So I say that in regards to the concerns and the fears and the worries we have about life. Well, you know what? They're there for a reason. I mean, we can't totally ignore them. That doesn't make sense. That's not even good response, because they're God-given. They're not inherently wrong. It's like pain. Actually, the best way for me to understand, or when I explained it in my family devotions to my children when they were smaller, I would say fear is a lot like pain. Why do we have pain? Does anybody want to experience pain? No, I don't want to burn myself and have that. I don't want to have my one grandson slammed his finger into the screen door, you know, metal screen door, and the little guy was a little less. He had actually was harassing one of his other, one of the other kids in the family. Yeah, cousin. He was harassing one of his cousins. And then came running in to shut the door on them so that they couldn't get in, they'd be left outside. That was the whole game that was going on. It wasn't very fun for the younger one. But I thought it was interesting that here was the older one that got his finger caught in the door. And all of a sudden, he was in a lot of pain. Okay, put a Band-Aid on, all that was covered. But what did the pain tell him? It told him that, listen, that wasn't a smart thing to do. Probably going to, you know what, I am certain he's going to pay more attention the next time he closes that door. There is just no question at all. He's going to care for it a little bit better. So pain is, again, that emotion, but it is a good thing. It protects us. One of the scariest things, one of the things I've learned is in leprosy, which we've all seen where it eats their body parts away, most of the damage is not done by the disease of leprosy. Most of the damage is done is because they do no longer feel pain. So they can have their hand in something that is burning their flesh, and until they smell it, they don't recognize it. Okay? And then their hand ends up all scarred. And on, life goes like that. They could be shaving and cut themselves very, very seriously. And then they end up with a scar on their face. Why? Not because of the leprosy, but because they couldn't feel the pain when they were shaving and they cut themselves. Well, once again, pain is not a bad thing. But it definitely has to be, you don't want to have that just flowing everywhere and all that. You want to do some things to avoid it. When I think of fear, when I go back to fear, I'm going to share some verses. And these verses are written by the Apostle Paul, who said, imitate me. Okay, I'm setting the stage for looking at verses on fear. Now, I want you to know, if you do not know, not everyone in here would necessarily know the life of the Apostle Paul, but let me just share some of the things that he experienced. He was beat and left for dead. He was shipwrecked, thought he was going to drown, and made it to shore. He was mistreated by all sorts of people. He had from a human standpoint, had a tremendously difficult life. Ultimately, was martyred. From a man like that, you have to look, if you read the book of Acts, you'll start to understand what I'm talking about. This man has been through so much. And yet he is the human author of the next phrases, the next passages we're going to look at about fear. He is the man that says, look at me, imitate me. So if you're struggling with fear today, remember what the Apostle Paul says about fear. First one. Well, actually that was one verse before it. This man had this philosophy. For to me, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Now, this is the verse I wanted to get to. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 tells you how the Apostle Paul, who said we were supposed to imitate him, handled fear. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Okay, what is he saying about fear? He said, listen, you're not supposed to be bound by this. It's not supposed to characterize us. Instead, when you feel like you're just all caught up in fear, you are to remember you're a child of God and call out to your Father. Say, Father, I need help. I don't know what to do. That's the point. Remember your relationship with Abba Father, who, by the way, is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. Psalms 27:1, this is David saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Okay, David, he was a man, by the way, as a young man, was hunted by the king of the land because he was going to be the next king, and he was tried to hunt, and they tried to kill him. He had his own issues for sure, and this is what he says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What was David telling us? He is saying that one of the real important characteristics of finding victory over fear is to recognize our relationship to God and who he is. Whom shall we fear if God is on our team, if we're one of his? Psalm 56, 10 through 11. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You see, the psalmists were saying the same thing the Apostle Paul was saying. You know, what do I have to fear about men? And the answer is nobody. You have nothing to fear. For to me, to live is Christ. And what's the greatest thing that, humanly speaking, another person could do to us? They could take our life. But his understanding of reality was to die was gain. Going back to Matthew. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what is the Lord was speaking here? What was he saying to us? When we're fearful, when we're overwhelmed with life, we are commanded and challenged in so many different ways to take it to him. You know, in my own life, it is helpful for me to remind myself I do not have to have a solution for all of my problems. If God wants me to have the solution, it's there. And here's the one thing I've learned. When I'm trusting him, the solutions come out of nowhere. They come from areas and ways and in packages that I never would have thought of. But that's the very point. Because we are not to be worrying about tomorrow. We are to be focused on a relationship with him. And if it is too big for us to carry, that's okay. That's what he's saying here. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. The problem is too big. I don't have a way out. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I supposed to do? I could do this. This could happen. That could happen. You start going through all of these what-ifs. Which in my own experience, very few of the what-ifs ever happen. Yet I can expend an enormous amount of energy working on them. And instead he is saying, no, don't do that. Come to me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, be about his work. Be about learning about him, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Back to the Apostle Paul. He says this, now to the King eternal. King means he is high and lifted up. He's the ruler. He's the sovereign. Eternal speaks of his sense of being outside of our time. One of the things I recognize about fear is it often has a deadline. Don't you just worry about this is going to happen and what am I going to do by this date? And it, God's eternal. Immortal. He's not like us. Invisible, but he's present. Boy, that's the one thing to remember. We may not see him, but he's here. To God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. What's the answer to us handling fear? It's focusing on God. And modeling ourselves after others who are committed and victoriously living and walking with God. How many are dominated by fear seeing themselves as victims? Now listen to this. Many, many, many people, and I fall into this. Listen, it's easy to start viewing yourself, I didn't create this problem, why do I have to deal with it? How did we get here? What did I do to deserve this? You know, those type of rationale. There are a couple quotes that I put on your piece of paper, but I want us to just read them together and think about it. Please read this with me. We're going to read it slowly. As much as these people need compassion for their problem, the fact is that fear has no hold on a person who isn't wrapped up in himself. Ooh, that I didn't like that. I didn't like that, although I marked it in my Bible. Because there's a sense in which we like feeling sorry for ourselves. And that's the real problem. It's not about us. We are not God. Note the next quote. A person who is truly putting God first in life and is more concerned with the welfare of others than he is about himself is not going to be dominated by fear. Again, you know, it's so simple. It is so simple, but it is so profound. Both of these are stating that fear is like worshiping ourselves. It's not trust in God for sure. And the solution is to be God and others focused. In the midst of your problem today, and listen, I know some of you have absolutely, you know, enormous problems and challenges, and they're frightful. We need to get our mind off of that and say, all right, Lord, here's where I am. Abba, Father, what do you want me to do? I want to worship you as I go through this. How can I be a living testimony of your grace and your power? What does 1 John 4:18 and 19 add to our discussion? In 1 John 4, he says, there is no fear in love. Okay, now, first of all, this is agape love. There is no fear in love. So when it says there's no fear in love, it really is saying there's no fear in sacrificially giving of yourself to meet the needs of another. There's no fear in that because it isn't about you getting hurt or you getting used or you getting abused. It's about you investing yourself in the needs of another. There's no fear in love. But perfect love where we are committed, we're thoroughly committed to manifesting what God has told us is supposed to characterize us as believers, sacrificially giving of ourselves to meet the needs of others, it casts off fear. Understand what, you know what he's saying in very practical terms? No matter how bad your situation is, the worse it is, the more you should invest yourself in being God's instrument in another person's life for God's glory. And allow the circumstances to just play out for themselves, because he's sovereign. Goes on to say, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him. We sacrificially give of ourselves to meet his need of wanting glory and praise, by the way, because he, being God, first loved us. Now think about how Paul made this statement. He is a man who had been beat and left for dead more than once, all because he wanted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And his summary of how to experience life, how to live life, was to say this: for to me, Paul was saying, to live is Christ. I'm living for the Lord. If I have another day, whether my leg is broken or in good stead, I am going to live for Christ. And when that ultimate thing, that ultimate punishment, that ultimate consequence of life comes, no problem. To die is gain. Because it is not about this life. It's about eternity. And so I don't know what problems you came with. I came with a fair share of my own. But you know what? When you look at life from his perspective, from what Paul's perspective was, what Paul was sharing is God's desire for all of us. Yeah, so we have some challenges. Interesting, when my wife and I pray about it, our prayers are, this is going to be interesting to see how God's going to work this out. Because we don't know. We don't know how he's going to work it out, but I am interested to see how God will work it out. And God works it out. And that's the truth that I wanted to challenge you with in the middle of the week. Because the middle of the week for me is when it can seem pretty dark at times, but it doesn't have to be. It has to be another opportunity for us to love others as we love ourselves. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all of our being is the point. And love our neighbors as ourselves. And that is our emphasis, not woe is me, I don't know how I'm going to handle this or that. Or I don't know why that happened to me, or I don't know why I'm not feeling better. No, I don't know why you're not feeling better either. That's not the point. The point is to live for him. Heavenly Father, I pray that these simple thoughts would be an encouragement to every one of us. Lord, what a blessing it is to be a believer. What a blessing it is to have your word. What a blessing it is to be able to read about the Apostle Paul's approach to life. And recognizing he was in a position to boldly challenge all of us to imitate him. And my prayer is that each one of us would. Because he is imitating you. And we want to be like you. Help us to be holy as you are holy. And help us not to fear what men should do unto us, but to trust in you. Rejoice in you and sing praises to you no matter what our circumstances are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.